Well, we pray that you might be present to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. While the story of Martha and Mary is familiar to many of us, it can be a story that's hard to hear, especially if our life is filled with things that are exhausting and burdensome. We can easily miss the invitation that comes with Jesus' words. Certainly over the centuries, Christian communities haven't read this story particularly well. We've often separated it from the rest of chapter 10. We've treated this story as a bit of a filler or a transition point between the two major speeches by Jesus that lie upon either side. And so what we've tended to do is the opposite of what Jesus does. We tend to reinforce gender-based distinctions that are very distinctions that Jesus in this story overturns. Nevertheless, this story offers us a picture of discipleship that's important for us, particularly as a church where there are often more things that need to be done than hands available to help. Our challenge is always to ask ourselves, where am I in this story? The invitation for us is to step into a space of calm, a space where we may not have been for a while, a space where we can learn and listen, regardless of other people's emotional expectations of us. So our reading today begins with Jesus visiting an unnamed town. The story illustrates everything that came before it through chapter 10. We see Jesus practicing what he preached. Wherever people welcome you, he said earlier in the chapter, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick. Tell them the kingdom has come near. And while we don't know much about Martha's background, she's described here as a woman in her own right. She's not anyone's wife or mother. She's not a widow, let alone a housekeeper. She is a homeowner, and she's willing to open up her house to Jesus. So that while places like Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum turn Jesus away, she and her household is prepared to listen and to accept the one who has sent Jesus. Perhaps even more surprising is that a traveling rabbi like Jesus is prepared to stay with someone like Martha in a small town where nothing would go unobserved or pass without commentary. Martha wants to serve Jesus well. She takes the provision of hospitality very seriously. So she sets about preparing a banquet for her guest. Now, of course, a banquet is a lot of work. There's bread to be baked, dips to be prepared, dishes to be made, and wine to be poured. And so while there is work to be done, and everyone has a place and a job to do, in this most important moment, with the household's most important guest ever, the younger sister Mary chooses to sit at the Lord's feet and listen to what he is saying. By doing so, Mary breaks two unspoken cultural conventions. First, she leaves the so-called woman's space in the hot and busy kitchen to sit with men who are unrelated to her. In her world, women and children would be confined to a different space of the house, working hard and eating separately, often finishing up whatever the men had left behind. It wasn't just meals that would be filtered in this way. But news of the world and religious instruction would come this way too, filtered through a grid of whatever men considered to be appropriate to pass on. But Mary chooses to hear directly from the rabbi himself without any filtering by servants or male family members. She chooses not to be distracted by things that are urgent, nor by the important tasks of what's going on in the back room, but chooses to sit among men as their equal. The second rule she breaks is that she defies the head of the household, her sister Martha. Now, breaking the first rule, people will gossip. Break this rule, and who knows what problems will come later. But Mary chooses to eat first with the rabbi at a time and a place that she has no right to do so. And so it's hard to know who irritated Martha more, whether it was her sister or Jesus for letting her get away with everything. Given that Jesus is her guest, Martha speaks to him directly and simply. Lord, she says respectfully, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. We might recall Jesus' words earlier in the chapter, how the harvest is always plentiful, but the laborers are always few. Martha's exhaustion has given rise to a sense of isolation, which has reinforced a vision of scarcity and the old boundaries that are often used to try and solve it. Martha sees herself as a victim, her sister as the problem, and she demands Jesus to fix it all right now. In the church and in our life, we're so often more like Martha than we'd like to admit. We're organized, we're eager to serve God, we step up. We want to keep things moving, and it's good. It's so good when things happen. That is until we find ourselves becoming exhausted. It's then that we become cranky and critical and resentful. Why doesn't God see and appreciate all that I'm doing? We often ask ourselves. Why won't others help? After all, the dinner won't serve itself. I can't begin to tell you the number of times that I myself have found myself in Martha's position. It's so easy to want to serve God. But deep down, there's often that niggling feeling that what it's really about is getting God's attention for myself and to feel valued. It's so easy to turn discipleship simply into a matter where people need to pray, pay, and obey. It's easy to work hard. It's great to see people grow. But it's also frustrating when people go off and do their own thing and not what the minister wants them to do. It's so easy as a leader to start to say to ourselves and to God, tell them to help me, even if those words never fall from our lips. Let me just say that if you happen to feel this way, that if you feel overwhelmed by everything that's on your plate, everything that needs to be done, it's okay. Study groups and youth groups and children's groups and whatever groups happen in church just won't run themselves. And it's easy to be exhausted by those things. Pastoral care and providing mental health and helping people with bereavement, well, there's no end of that work either. Not to mention all the issues of injustice that surround us, whether it's housing insecurity or growing authoritarianism, let alone the climate emergency that we find ourselves in. All of that is just so exhausting to deal with. Jesus never criticized Martha for what she was doing. And neither should you feel criticized for feeling overwhelmed at everything that's needed. But we need to remember that although Jesus may have had a reputation for being a glutton, he was never picky or demanding in his personal life. There's every reason to believe that Jesus would have accepted whatever Martha had to offer that day, no matter how simple it would have been. Truth be told, this meal was perhaps more about Martha and how it made her look than anything to do with Jesus. She didn't necessarily resent Mary. Perhaps she even felt embarrassed by her, that she couldn't control her younger sister, a sister who chose to be a part of the problem more than a part of the solution. Jesus' reply is quixotic. He speaks compassionately to Martha, reframing her concerns. Martha's busyness is symptomatic of her own worry and distraction about herself. Jesus says that Mary has chosen a better part or a better portion, which will not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen to listen and to learn, and Jesus is not prepared to reimpose the old order, even if it's at the behest of her sister. What Jesus does for Mary, he does for us all. Jesus creates and holds a space so that Mary can learn about God's kingdom for herself. This is a kingdom which upsets all the old orders, whether they are about power or gender, race or class. Everyone expects Mary to be busy in the kitchen, but she chooses to sit at the Lord's feet instead. This expression means so much more than just her location in the house that night. Luke is telling us that Mary decided to become a student of Jesus that day, one who was equal to any and all men. You might recall earlier in chapter 10 that Jesus did not demand people to go out into the harvest. He was no slave master. He doesn't guilt or shame his disciples into doing anything. He simply tells his students to pray and to go. So in a world where rabbis only ever had male students, Mary stands out. She would be at the feet of her Lord when he was crucified. Mary would fall at Jesus' feet in the garden when he reappeared. Mary would be an apostle sent to the other apostles to announce Jesus' resurrection. So she would always buck expectations and demands at each and every step in her life. Mary was only able to help because she sat at Jesus' feet. She found herself energized rather than exhausted, herself connected to others rather than working alone. She would realize opportunities rather than be overwhelmed by the scarcity in her life, all because she would make time to sit at her Lord's feet. And although people might gossip, and those with power might get angry, Mary entered a space a calm space where she could hear God's voice for herself without all those expectations that are imposed upon her. Jesus gave Mary the space to sit and to listen and to learn, if only because he was never inclined to take much notice of our expectations around status and gender anyway. So Luke turns our expectations upside down by showing us the lives of these two women, one who chose the good path to serve, but who became exhausted, and another who chose to listen and to learn about God's new world, even if people got angry with her. The difficult truth, the invitation of this story is that everyone needs to find that space to hear God's voice directly for themselves. Martha needed to hear that too. She had a problem, and the only solution that she could see is to reassert her unhelpful beliefs upon others, to keep Mary away and deny her the opportunity to become all that she would be. It's not easy to hear God in the context of our cramped and busy lives. But we need to make space to hear things, to see things, to get a glimpse of God's kingdom for our lives. The harvest is plentiful, Jesus said, but the laborers are few. Therefore, he went on and said, "Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers." Prayer is not simply a request, but it's an opportunity to have our vision and our expectations reshaped by God's kingdom. And so Jesus would find an unexpected harvest hand in the person of Mary. We need to remember that it's only by listening to the voice of Jesus that our service can become all that it is meant to be. If we take the time to listen to Jesus, then we will discover we are never alone. If we take the time to listen to Christ, then we will discover others who share in this work of God's kingdom. If we listen to God, we might just discover brothers and sisters elsewhere who don't share our heritage or our background, our goals, or even our religion, but who wish to participate in what God is doing amongst us. As a church which values the leadership gifts of those who are often overlooked, our challenge is to continue to create space and hold that space for all the Marys who find their life among us. And maybe as a few Marthas here, we might ourselves learn to sit and to listen and not be so anxious about the things that press in upon us all. After all, it's good to serve, but sometimes the better portion is to create the time and the space to sit down, to be quiet, to listen, and to realize that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve others. Amen.